10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Well, folks, welcome to part two of this episode of News from the Wall. And we'll now take you to the conclusion of this program already in progress. So in the last 4 years, God has been warning the nation through his messengers. And God has done this to try to awaken his people. When I had the vision of the drips of darkness coming down, and they were dripping down very slowly like molasses, over time I came to realize that the drips were coming down slow because it was happening in slow motion. It didn't happen fast. It didn't arrive as a tempest and just destroy everything very quickly. It happens slow. And the reason, ladies and gentlemen, that it happens slow is because God is merciful. God wanted his people to continue preparing. And for those of you that might be saying, you know, Nathan, I get so tired of getting ready because I'm thinking it's about to happen and then it doesn't and I get weary. And folks, I understand that feeling. I've spoken to many individuals who've said the same thing to me. They say, Nathan, I've been getting ready for 5 years, for 10 years. Nothing's happened yet. But in reality, folks, it is happening. It's been happening in slow motion. Because if we were to look backwards from where we are right now, and when we look around, and if we see the condition of the economy, the condition of the health of America as a country, and if we look back 5 or 6 years, it doesn't look the same. It's changed. The nation's crumbling now. Streets are in disrepair. Streetlights are turned off because cities can't afford the lights. Crime's on the increase. We know all the statistics. I shared some of them earlier. But God delayed, and he allowed it to happen in slow motion. Now, here we are. The election just happened, and Obama won a second term. Now, when that event happened, I believe that something in the invisible realm also occurred. I believe that a new chapter had begun for America, obviously, because it's a new administration. But I mean in the spiritual realm. There were events behind the scenes that took place where forces that are invisible got involved into the fray. And we're going to talk about that now. And over the last few days, I've spoken to several people that have all shared with me that when Obama got reelected on election night, they felt it. This new chapter seems to have, for many people, an actual feeling, a tangible feeling that's in the air. And the feeling includes an awareness of sadness, of grief, of sorrow, of lamenting. I spoke with several people and they said that they wept when they heard Obama won. They were crushed. And I'm pretty sure that we're on the same page. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you're a regular listener, I'm pretty sure that you also felt it. But it wasn't just an intellectual response to the information, because I really believe that something came into the atmosphere that was a spirit of mourning, a spirit of sorrow. And this sorrow has now enveloped the entire country. It's a spirit of lament and sadness. Now, included with that is a shroud of darkness. Darkness arrived on election night. Now, for the last few years, we have spoken about those things. We have spoken, and you've heard me talk about the darkness that was coming, and I'm not the only one that has spoken about this. There are many other individuals that have seen in prophetic visions and dreams or in words of knowledge or just knowing that darkness was coming. Many people have seen this thing. This dark slime, this dark sludge was coming over America. Well, folks, on Tuesday, election night, that took place. And if that thing took place and many of us saw it happen in the spiritual realm beforehand, if some of you saw the darkness coming, a year ago or 2 years ago or several months ago, that was the Holy Spirit telling you it was coming. That was God, the kingdom of heaven, was showing his people that it was coming. So God was warning us that it was coming. Now, aside from the darkness, God also shared a glimpse of what was coming in. And you've heard me talk about this. Lamentations is coming to America. Some of you are probably tired of hearing me say that. But the words alone really do not illustrate the full effect of that statement. When I say, ladies and gentlemen, remnant of God, Lamentations is coming, and we got to get ready for it. If someone hears that from the intellectual point of view, it doesn't register just how intense those words are going to be. But on election night, here's what happened, folks. A glimpse of that Lamentations did start arriving. And Lamentations means to lament. It means to weep. It means that you're in sorrow. It means grief. Folks, grief happens when a loved one dies. Grief and sorrow occur when we experience death of a loved one. That's what Lamentations is talking about. And when I say that Lamentations is coming, that's from the scriptures. When Jeremiah the prophet had been warning the kingdom of Judah that God's judgment was coming, he warned for 40 years. And he did it through mockeries and scoffing. He did it through mistreatment. But he stuck to it. He tried to warn them, but they didn't want to hear it. They called him a prophet of gloom and doom. He stayed at his post, though. He did not give up. There were times where he doubted himself. There were times where he had weak moments. And then eventually, it came true. Babylon showed up. And when Babylon showed up, the things that happened after that are recorded in the diary of Lamentations. And folks, when you have a chance to read Lamentations through the eyes of how it really happened, and if you're able to visualize and see in your spirit what really happened, it's horrible. It's sad. It's hard to read the words because they happen to real people. And Jeremiah saw them happen to real people. And the things that he wrote, they're so painful to read. And some of the things that he wrote were, the children that I held in my arms when they were infants, when they were babies, when they were suckling on their mothers, children that I watched grow up, I saw dying of hunger, pining away, losing weight, becoming thinner and thinner, down to skin and bones, in their mother's arms. And then I saw these children die in their mother's arms. And I heard the wails of the mothers when the children died. I heard the screams. I saw the tears. And when I saw this, I cried out, Lord, I can't bear it. And I couldn't hold any food down. My bowels became sick. It was too hard to bear. I walk up and down the streets of Jerusalem weeping in sorrow because the judgment is happening. Now, folks, Jeremiah warned for 40 years that it was coming. But then when it happened, it broke his heart. And he wrote about it. Now, the Holy Spirit told me, Nathan, Lamentations, the pain that Jeremiah saw that broke his heart, those are going to happen to America. Folks, I've been saying this for years. And some of you may be saying, Nathan, why are you bringing it up now? Why? Here's why, folks. Because as the Holy Spirit has made it very clear that the plague of Babylon arriving to God's people back then in the land of Judah is going to mirror itself in our time. The events that happened in old Israel are going to rhyme with what is going to happen to the church here in America. And since it is going to rhyme, then that sadness, that Lamentations that Jeremiah had to taste of, that grief and sorrow and pain, it has started. And it arrived on election night. And many of you felt it. But get this, folks, you felt it, but the events of Jeremiah are not happening yet. We're not seeing people starve to death. But the general shroud of the Lamentations, the spirit of Lamentations, it's here. It's arrived. And that's why so many of God's people have been feeling that. So as I was seeking him, I was asking for more clarity of, okay, well, if it's going to arrive, how is this going to play out? And God showed me something that I have never, ever seen before. Now, if you've been listening to my other series about the Olympics, if you've been following that and taking notes, you have observed that the powers of darkness use the Olympic series to announce their plan to the world. That's obvious. By the way, side note, if you have not heard this because you think it's the past, why listen to the Olympics were in the summer, Nathan? Why do I need to listen to that? Here's why, folks. It's the script of everything that we need to know about to get ready for. It would be one of the wisest things that every Christian should do to know what they're going to be facing in the next few years. And I'm not just saying that because it's my series, folks. This is what people have been telling me. I've received hundreds of emails from individuals that say that they are blown away with the information that's in there. Because the Holy Spirit has allowed me to decode and unlock the secret message that the enemy laughed at when he presented to the world what he's going to do in the coming months and in the coming years. And we were able to unlock what is about to happen. But one of the key themes that was portrayed in the Olympic ceremony was Babylon is under construction. Babylon's infrastructure is now being built. The hammers are starting to pound. And they also revealed to us that the spirit of Babylon has arrived. They also revealed to us that the principalities that are going to go out to the whole world have been loosed, and they intend to get some things done. Now, in the Olympic ceremony, the enemy did that, folks. So when you have a chance, please listen to that. By the way, in part 7 that is about to come out, it's going to be one of the most powerful messages that I have ever preached. So please be looking for that. Now, why did I bring that up? Here's why, folks. Because when God said Lamentations is coming, and as we have been discussing, that the story of Lamentations is actually connected to the invasion of Babylon to God's people, that's biblical history. When God said Lamentations is coming, that means that Babylon is going to once again invade the territory of God's people. That's what it means, folks. Now, the enemy has announced Babylon's coming, but now I want to share something with you that the Holy Spirit just gave me. And in order to do that, I need you to take your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 39, because I'm going to share some things with you that are actually going to be the script of what I believe we are going to see happen in America over the next few years. We're going to read about what's going to happen to God's people, what's going to happen to the wealthy people, the poor people, the Obama lovers. We're also going to read about what the enemy plans to do. So the script is right here in Jeremiah chapter 39. It's incredible, folks. Now, if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah 39. Now, I want to give you a quick background on what's happening right here. When Jeremiah was warning Judah that judgment was coming, he did it for 40 years. And according to biblical history, Jeremiah started his ministry approximately 627 B.C. His ministry lasted until 586 B.C. And during that 40 years, 5 different kings were in power. 5 kings. So as you can imagine, the first few kings were probably thinking, Jeremiah, you're telling everyone that judgment's coming? I don't think so. And then those kings died. So can you imagine some of the general population saying, Jeremiah's saying judgment's coming, and he was telling the king judgment's coming, but it didn't happen to that king, so what's up with Jeremiah? Doom and gloomer, fear-monger. He went through 5 kings. Now, folks, think about that. 5 kings. Why did it take so long? Why did it take 40 years? And I find it interesting that it was 5 kings that came and went through the warning message and prophetic ministry of Jeremiah. Why the number 5? Well, 5 happens to be the number of grace. So what that means is it was God's delay out of mercy for the people. And when we look at it from that respect, that sheds light on our present situation. And what that tells us is delay means mercy. Delay means that God loves you. Delay means get ready because it's still coming. Also, what we can gather from that is delay does not mean to quit. And delay does not mean that you should unplug or go back to sleep. And it doesn't mean that the warning message is a lie. It doesn't mean that you can get mad at the messenger and hurl stones because he's doing his job. Because, folks, delay is evidence of God's compassion and his loving kindness. And as we've been observing the present judgment on America, we can see that delay is evident right now. And this is why the melting of America is happening in slow motion. And folks, if we had a choice, which one would we rather have? America melting slowly or America in an eruption that happens within minutes? So isn't it interesting that as we're looking at Jeremiah 39, we can see many, many similarities to what's going on in America. And as we talk about these things, they're going to become more and more evident. But Jeremiah continued his faithfulness until the final king of Judah arrived. And his name was Zedekiah. And Zedekiah is who we read about here in Jeremiah 39. Now, King Zedekiah was placed in power by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. When he was 21 years old, Nebuchadnezzar showed up in Judah and he made his power known to Judah, and he placed as a puppet King Zedekiah. And Nebuchadnezzar allowed the people of Judah to continue living their lives, and he placed a puppet government there. And I'm sure he had some talks with Zedekiah, and he said, Zedekiah, you stay a good boy, you stay loyal to me, and you'll be fine. Well, King Zedekiah did not want to be loyal to Babylon and to Nebuchadnezzar, so he tried to get help from Egypt, from the Pharaoh of Egypt. And when Nebuchadnezzar found out about this, Nebuchadnezzar was angry, and he decided that he was going to come and invade Judah. So when we read in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 1, if you have your Bibles, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, if you have a pen and paper, this is how it happened. Jeremiah was warning them that Babylon was coming. And of course, the watchmen up on the walls in the towers, they saw the cloud of dust in the horizon. They saw the armies. So they sealed up all the walls and all the gates of Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar shows up outside the walls. And for those of you that have seen those Renaissance movies, the way it plays out is you have the invaders outside screaming, "Open the gates." And then you have the people inside up on the wall saying, "No." So Nebuchadnezzar showed up in the ninth year that Zedekiah was the king. The ninth year, the tenth month. Now look at verse 2, folks. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. So now let's think about this. Nebuchadnezzar shows up in the ninth year, tenth month. So that's what? Let's use the Gregorian calendar, although they have the Jewish calendar, but they're still 12 months. So in the tenth month, that would be October, November, December. So in the ninth year of Zedekiah, 2 months goes by, and then you have the tenth year of Zedekiah, and the entire year went by, and then you have the 11th year of Zedekiah, and then in the fourth month of the 11th year, they finally got into the city. So let's do the math here. In verse 1, we have 2 months, and then 12 months for the tenth year, and then the 11th year is 4 months, so add another 4 months, so you have 12 plus 2 plus 4, that's 18 months. That's a year and a half that Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem. They were outside the gates, and it took them that long to penetrate the walls. Now, when we look at general warfare back then, the way it was done was the invading army would show up, and they would have enough supplies to feed themselves, and then they would take the resources around the city that they were attacking. And they would go into the forest and chop down trees, and they would start building their catapults and their trebuchets and their battering rams, and they would make the wheels and do all the carpentry work. So it took them a while to build all these things, because if they came from thousands of miles away, they couldn't drag trebuchets and catapults with them. So they used the resources of the region that they were attacking to build their siege works. Meanwhile, inside the city, you have Jerusalem and all of its citizens and Jeremiah. Jeremiah's in there. And since they're surrounded, they can't go hunting for food. And what happens is they start running out of food inside the city. And the conditions start deteriorating. And when we have those things in mind for a year and a half, that's what Lamentations is about. When Jeremiah says the people were pining away, they were starving. Rich people were selling their valuables for food. The city started withering away. Many people started dying, but they still refused to open the walls. So as Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon were waiting them out, so to speak, the people of Jerusalem were dying. So in Jeremiah 39, verse 2, it says, in the 11th year of Zedekiah, the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. So finally, when they came in, They found a lot of people that were skinny and starving, very weak. They weren't strong enough to fight. Meanwhile, the Babylonians were well fed. They were hunting this whole time. They probably had a supply line of reinforcements. They had it figured out. They were strong. So they marched in when the walls were torn down. And in verse 3 it says, "And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate," and it names different princes. Verse 4, "And so it was when Zedekiah the king of Judah and all the men of war saw them, they fled. They went out of the city by night, by the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out by way of the plain." So King Zedekiah had a secret way of escaping the city, and he tried to get out. Verse 5, "But the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they captured him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. The king of Babylon also killed the nobles of Judah. And moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the remnant of the people who remained in the city and those who defected to him with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah the poor people who had nothing and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time." Verse 11, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah, and he said, 'Take him, look after him, do him no harm, but do to him just as he says.'" So this is how the siege occurred. After a year and a half, they tore down the walls, they came in, they captured the king, and the king had his eyeballs cut out. All the rich people were killed, the nobles were slaughtered, and they allowed the poor people to stay as farmers for Nebuchadnezzar to tend the vineyards and basically to be his slaves, because now the area of Judah was going to be another one of his regions. So that's the account in the scriptures. Now, I want to share something with you, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope that I can illustrate it and communicate it in a way that will really show you what the Holy Spirit revealed. So I'm going to try. Here's what it is. When the Holy Spirit said to me years ago that Lamentations was coming, and when I went to the book of Lamentations and I read about the siege of Jerusalem, I could read about all of the doom stuff that was going to happen. And when you actually look at these things, it looks like a prepper's list of things to have ready, just in case. Because food is mentioned a lot. It talks about how they didn't have food and how expensive food became. It talks about bread. It talks about gathering wood for heat, getting water. So Lamentations happened because the basic necessities of survival became scarce and they pined away and they died. So when I have looked at the narrative of Lamentations, I have had the tendency to say to myself, okay, well, if they're not going to have wood, then God's people need to make sure they have enough wood or a source of heat and so forth and so on. Have food, have wheat, etc. And I had been looking at it from the standpoint of a to-do list of things to get in the event that the lights go out here in America. But one of the things that I did not take into account was the bigger picture. And that's what I want to communicate right now. Now, when I say the bigger picture, I mean that back then it happened to the kingdom of Judah. But if the Holy Spirit said Lamentations is coming to America, quote unquote, then is there more to the story? And when the election happened, and when I went and asked God, what does this all mean? And then he brought me to this, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. But one of the first things the Holy Spirit said to me was, the siege has already begun. When the Holy Spirit said that, I was thinking to myself, the siege has begun. The siege of America has begun. That's all the Holy Spirit said. So I started pursuing that more, and then I realized that, okay, if God just told me the siege has begun, who's doing the siege? Well, in Jeremiah's time, it was Babylon. So in America's time, it's again going to be Babylon. And of course, it's not going to be literal Babylon, but what I realize is it's a spiritual Babylon. The spirit of Babylon has now brought America under siege. So I was examining that. And then today, when I was reading Jeremiah 39, the Holy Spirit said, go take a look at how long Babylon's involvement was with Judah. So I started to research, how long was Babylon involved with Judah? Well, okay. And I was digging in the scriptures, and then I came to this passage, Jeremiah 39. And when I found out the background of Babylon's involvement and the actual placement of King Zedekiah, I came across a scripture and it just jumped out, folks. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it's found in Jeremiah 39:2. And it says, in the 11th year of Zedekiah, the fourth month, the city was broken up. Babylon came through the walls. So let's examine that. Zedekiah, the leader of Judah, and instead of saying Zedekiah, let's say the office of the leadership, the political leadership, in the 11th year that it had existed under Babylon, Babylon finally came in and invaded the city. So I was thinking about this. If Babylon showed up and placed its influence over the land of Judah, and then 11 years later it became unhappy, so it came in a more forceful manner, how can we apply that to America? And here's where things started getting real interesting. We just had the 2012 election. Now, folks, think about this. The spirit of Babylon is over America right now. And when I say spirit of Babylon, I'm talking about the religious false idol spirit, the Baal worship, the false pagan worship, all those things that make up a culture that is anti-God, worshiping idols and the creature more than the creator, all that mess. There's a spirit behind that. But in addition to just that, Babylon has been involved in America for a number of years. And if you can remember, let's do this, folks. When we read Jeremiah 39:2, it says, in the 11th year, Babylon, in other words, Nebuchadnezzar got mad and he busted through the walls. Okay, if we're in 2012 right now, and if God said we're going to rhyme with what happened back then let's go ahead and use the same numbers. We're in 2012 right now, and just like the leader of Judah, King Zedekiah, 11 years later. So if we went backwards for them, 11 years previous, Babylon also shows up in Judah and puts him in power. Okay, in America, 2012, let's go backward the same amount of time, 11 years. Where does that take us? It takes us to 2001. It takes us to, the election was in November. It's just a few months off, but if we go 11 years previous, we get to the time of 9/11 here in America. And I want to take you to a brief flashback of 9/11. Now, folks, how many of you can remember that before 9/11, before September 11th happened here in America, everything was different? We did not have Homeland Security. We did not have a Middle Eastern presence. We didn't have the Iraq War. We didn't have any of that mess. America had been in peace. Yeah, here and there they had gone into Somalia and Kosovo and done their peacekeeping things. But before 9/11, we had not been conducting waterboarding. Before 9/11, we didn't have Abu Ghraib prison where we mistreated prisoners. Before 9/11, we didn't have Guantanamo Bay full of prisoners that had never been formally charged. We were not going against the Geneva Convention in a lot of aspects. Before 9/11, America was on the good side. But then 9/11 happened. And very quickly, the foreign policy of America made it very clear that we were going to begin the war on terror. And very quickly after 9/11, I can still remember this, Vice President Dick Cheney stated that America must now go to the dark side in order to fight the war on terror. That statement spoke volumes. America is going to go to the dark side. And sure enough, America did go to the dark side. We began to torture people. The Patriot Act was passed. The National Defense Authorization Act was passed. Posse Comitatus was thrown out the window. The Constitution was butchered. Patriot Act Part 1 and then Part 2. Homeland Security was developed. And then we went into Iraq very soon after that. And when that happened, we also went into the ancient city of Babylon. Saddam had been working on recreating Babylon like it was in the days of old, according to archaeology. And when we went into Iraq, how many of you remember that our soldiers had taken pictures of the recreation of Babylon? So America, by default, went into Babylon and in the physical realm, we were there. Our boots were on the ground. The United States of America was there. And the United States of America took possession. And in the natural, that's what happened. But in the invisible realm, this is what happened, folks. In the invisible realm, a transference occurred. A transference in the invisible realm of the powers of darkness that had existed in Babylon for eons of time, that had been sleeping, was awakened. And when the United States of America arrived in Iraq, that darkness of Babylon was transferred to America. And that started right after 9/11. And it was confirmed with Dick Cheney saying, we're going to the dark side. And how many of you remember that soon after that, all the scandals came out on how America was now torturing, how we threw out the good book, and we were now going to start the dark things. And many of the patriotic right-wing neocon conservatives said, well, we need to do it. It's necessary. But little did they know the United States was writing new manuals on how the nation was going to torture and how the new techniques were being developed that were then going to be used against our own citizens. America went to the dark side in 01. Now, with that being the case, folks, everything changed after 2001. If we go 11 years into the future, and if we look at Jeremiah chapter 39:2, in the 11th year after the siege, Jerusalem was taken. But according to Jeremiah, Babylon showed up and started the siege not in verse 2, but in verse 1. And Babylon showed up a year and a half previous. So if we were to back up from the election, and if we were to back up a year and a half, where does that take us? That takes us to the year 2010, around the month of May. Now, I'm not saying that these dates match up exactly, but this is what I am saying, folks, because the Holy Spirit has been revealing this. In the first term of President Obama, the siege began. The siege of Babylon began. The spirit. Now, we're not talking about a physical Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar. I'm talking about the spirit of darkness, a spirit of Babylon's principalities. Those principalities that have been around for thousands and thousands of years. Those same spirits that operated under Nebuchadnezzar, those demons, those principalities, they're still around today. And we've already had 4 years of Obama. But what I'm starting to realize is that America has been under siege in the spiritual realm for several years now. It might not be exactly 18 months to take us to May of 2010. And I haven't even done any research to see what happened back then under Obama. If he passed some laws or some dark things happened back then, I haven't even looked. What I'm saying right here is that the United States of America has been under siege already. The siege has begun in Obama's first term. And if the siege began already, in the last few years, we have seen a deterioration of America, a deterioration that happens kind of in slow motion when a siege occurs. The food starts getting expensive. Now, of course, people aren't starving right now like they would in a city, because we're not finished, folks. But this is what I'm proposing. Is it possible? Let me just say it that way, folks. But is it possible that the siege has already been underway in the spiritual realm, and that siege has been attacking the morality of this country? Have the spirits of Babylon surrounded America, and have they been chipping away at the walls of America, the gates of America, so that they can enter? And when those gates are busted open, the spirits of Babylon are going to come in and then make slaves of America? Is that possible, folks? Now, when we look at Jeremiah 39:2, and we see in the 11th year, the city was broken. They came through. And then look at verse 3, folks. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in. Now, let's relate that to America. When the doors and the gates of America's protection have been destroyed, then the gates of hell will open up, and the kings in the spiritual realm will then come into the land and infiltrate the land of America. And a moment ago, I mentioned my Olympic ceremony series. The reason I did that is because we have been able to uncover that during the Olympic ceremony, a ritual took place that opened the gates of hell and allowed spirits from the underworld to be released throughout the world. That happened just a few months ago, folks. We've talked about it. If you haven't heard it, please go listen to it. But if that thing did happen, and if we couple that with we are in the last days, and we bring into the equation that America is Babylon, when we start putting all those things together, folks, at one time we have the nation of America that was not infected with the spirit of Babylon. But then, at some point, there's a change that happens, a deterioration of that land where it becomes inhabited by the spirit of Babylon. So when we're looking at what happened in the recent election, this is what I'm proposing to you, folks. I find it interesting that it is 11 years later from 9/11, and we can see the connection here. And if that is the case, that Babylon's kings finally are able to enter the gates of the city, or in other words, enter the kingdom. And in verse 3, it talks about the princes of the king came in. So in verse 3, if we look at it from the spiritual symbolic interpretation, principalities have entered America now. So when did this event happen? When the election occurred, I felt it. I felt the lamentations. I felt the lamenting, the sorrow. And many of you also felt it. Something happened in the invisible realm. It's like something entered America or something came over America. Well, I propose this, folks. Jeremiah 39:2, 11 years after 9/11, the city was broken and Babylon entered. Verse 3, all those princes came in and covered America with the darkness. If that happened, then let's look at verse 4. And it came to pass when Zedekiah, king of Judah, saw them, the men of war, they fled. Now, some of you may be saying, okay, well, where's Obama in this matter, in this situation? Let me say this, folks. Obama is just a tool. Obama, while in the natural, I do get discouraged with him. I get frustrated with him. Parts of me get angry about what he's doing. In the natural, yes, I get mad. But I still have to submit myself to the mind of Christ, which then allows me to see it in a different perspective, which is Obama is just a tool. And Obama represents the leadership of America. That's it. He represents being the king. He represents that role of Zedekiah. So when Zedekiah saw the men of war come and he fled. So in verse 5, the Chaldeans pursued after them and overtook him. So now let's examine it from this point of view, folks. Let's place Obama in there. The Chaldeans army, the Babylonian army, or in other words, the army of principalities, and I'm looking at verse 5, the satanic dark army of principalities pursued after them and overtook Obama, in other words. When that dark spiritual presence came into America, Obama found himself surrounded by darkness, and they overtook him. And when they took him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, and they gave judgment on him. In other words, after the election, folks, just a few days ago, when the election happened, the spirit of Babylon came over America, and in the invisible realm, they overtook Obama, and then they gave judgment on him. Or in other words, they overtook him. They got control of his thinking. They got control of his soul. So in other words, folks, in the Oval Office, we have a very, very powerful spiritual force that's influencing the person in office right now. And then look at verse 6. So the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. So in other words, the rich people, the people with means, were all destroyed. So what that means now is Obama has been taken over by a spirit of darkness, by a spirit of death, and now the principalities in the invisible realm are going to use Obama as their puppet to carry out their plan. So the spirits of Babylon are going to use Obama to come down on all those that are rich, the noble ones of America, the noble ones of means. So in other words, Obama has a war against the rich, against capitalism. And we already know that he has spoken about those things. He wants to take from the rich and give it to the poor ones. And that's why we have heard reports that many wealthy people all across America are fleeing this country. They want to get out. They cannot get out fast enough. Billionaires are leaving, folks. Multi-millionaires are leaving America. The very wealthy are leaving because Babylon is after them. And Obama is going to be used to destroy them. And not only them, the middle class, the higher middle class, Obama has a war against those of you that have worked hard and that have achieved. He's going to make sure he comes down on you. But it's not just him. It's not just his thoughts. He is under the control of evil. Now, look at verse 7. Jeremiah 39:7, folks. This is very interesting. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Now, let's substitute Zedekiah for Obama. Moreover, he put out Obama's eyes. Now, we're talking about the spiritual realm here. The powers of darkness have overshadowed, overcome, and overwhelmed any remaining focus that Obama might have had. They've taken over his eyes, his focus, which means that he will not be able to see things for how they truly are. It also means that he's going to be under the powers of darkness, folks, because only a person under the spell of the powers of darkness would seek to pass laws that crush the lifestyles of America that have existed for over 200 years and that have existed with the approval of many generations. Only a person without proper thinking and a darkened soul would even try to do something like that. So in verse 7, he put out his eyes, the king's eyes, and he bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Or in other words, spiritual chains, strongholds, to now be spiritually bound to Babylon. Now, folks, I know that in the natural, what I'm saying right now sounds crazy. I know that. But we are not just one-dimensional beings. We are not just creatures of the physical world. We are spiritual beings. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. There is a God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. He created us, and he has given us prophecies about his second coming. He has told us what's going to happen to this planet before he returns. And one of the primary things that is going to happen to this planet, one of the huge, huge, momentous, gargantuan changes that is going to come to planet Earth is that the spirit of Babylon is going to arrive. And that spirit of Babylon is going to arrive and ascend from the bowels of the earth, from the gates of hell. And when Babylon is mentioned in Revelation 17 and 18, it says Babylon has become the dwelling place of demons. It changed into it. Now, we've talked about that in the Olympic series programs, but right now, this is what we have to have in mind. Many of you that are listening to me right now would probably agree that America seems to be Babylon based on what we are observing. I know that some of you may be adamant about it. Some of you may suspect it. And then some of you may, well, you're not sure. And then some of you deny it. But nevertheless, Babylon's going to exist in the last days. We know this. And it's going to be a spiritual force that is going to overshadow the entire world. It's going to sit over the whole beast, the seven mountains of the beast, all seven continents. Its presence is going to be felt everywhere. And if America is Babylon, at what point, if we're in the last days, folks, if right now we can admit that we're the last generation and we're in the last days, if we can admit that, then we have to also face this. That means that the dark spiritual presence and influence and control and cloak and shroud of Babylon's underworld needs to arrive. It needs to arrive. If we're in the last days, it needs to arrive. And if it's going to arrive, when does it arrive? Does it happen all of a sudden? Does it happen slowly over time? See, folks, those are some questions that most people don't think about. If America is Babylon, when did it turn into Babylon? Has it always been? No, I don't think so. Revelation 18, verse 2, he cried mightily with a loud voice, as of the angel, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the dwelling place of demons. So it changed into this. So folks, at what point will America backslide and become an infidel? At what point will the nation of America switch from Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde? At what point will America take off the garment of praise and Christianity and put on the dark cloak of Satanism and paganism and great evil and carnality? Well, it appears that that's happening right now, because in this last election, at the beginning of this program, I presented the entire premise that America, for the first time, I believe in her history, a bunch of vagabonds chose evil and iniquity over righteousness and over good. America's on the decline, folks. And a decline does not happen in a vacuum. Decline does not happen without the involvement of the powers of darkness. In fact, quite the opposite. Decline happens because principalities and the powers of darkness are heavily involved in a nation with great evil. So, getting back to Jeremiah 39, this is what I'm trying to say, folks. I believe that we can see a mirror of America right here. If Lamentations was coming, so are all the other parts. If Lamentations and the sad part of the siege happens, then we must also include the cause of the siege, the players of the siege. So what do we have so far? I propose, ladies and gentlemen, that during the election is when the battering rams of Satan and the underworld tore down the gates of America in the spiritual realm, and the hordes of hell came in. And when that happened, great sadness came over the land, and you felt it. Great darkness came over the land, and you sensed it. And if those things happen, and if we can see right here how it mentions the siege and the victory of Babylon and what happens to the king, then let us go further in Jeremiah 39:8. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire, and they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. So that's what happened to Jerusalem when Babylon came in. They burned down all the houses and destroyed everything. But now let's look at it symbolically and let's apply it to America. The Chaldeans, the Babylonian spirits came in and they burned the king's house, the president's house. Burned with what? Burned with great evil. Burned with darkness. Burned with evil plans. And the houses of the people with fire. Now, is that literal? Can that be interpreted literal or symbolic? The fires of Satan are going to influence the leadership. But then it says the houses of the people were lost. The fires of corruption, the fires of purging, the fires of trial. When we look at it and apply it to America, American houses are being lost right now. They are burning with the fire of trial, the fires of corruption. And they broke down the walls of Jerusalem and the protection around America, America's bulwarks, America's thick walls of protection, America's hedge was torn down. It was broken down by the satanic kings. So the protection of America has now been removed. Now, we have to place this event all happening at the same time. When the siege had finally led to victory and they came into the city, these events all happened one after the other. The king's soul was taken over. The houses were burned. The protection was destroyed. And then look at verse 9. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away the captives to Babylon. He carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people. Now, folks, this is the part that we need to really, really get a hold of and understand. When Babylon enters the city and invades, they're going to take away many people to captivity. They're going to do it. And it's God's people that it happens to. The remnant of the people that remained will be made captive. Now, when we look at this in the spiritual of America, what that means is Babylon is going to come in and it's going to want to take away God's people. And it's up to us to stay focused. It's up to us to stay loyal. It's up to us to stay committed and faithful to the things of God. Now, is it possible this could be also carried out in the physical? Yes, it is. Because we know in the book of Revelation, it says some people will be taken captive. It says that the beast will be given authority to overcome the saints for 3.5 years. Babylon's going to be allowed that privilege. And when we look at this symbolically on what is coming to America, that means that tyranny is going to come. The Babylonians became tyrants, and God's people became the prisoners. So as the days progress, what that means is tyranny is going to come here to America. And I read some of those laws already. There's another New World Order plan that I don't have a lot of time to talk about right now, but it's called Agenda 21. And that thing has been in play for the last 20 years, since 1992. And one of the goals of Agenda 21 is depopulating the earth, relocating the citizens by force. And I don't have time to talk about that, but that's a New World Order plan that we're in the last days. It's going to happen. So verse 9, the remnant of the people were then captive to Babylon. God's remnant will be captive. And then look what happens in verse 10. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So who is this group? This is the group of those who gave allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. Or in other words, these would be the same types that raised their hands and saluted Hitler or Stalin or Chairman Mao. Or in other words, the poor of the people who showed their allegiance, and as a reward, they were given an Obama phone. See, folks, even all the way back to biblical times, you have the poor people who show their allegiance and then they willingly become slaves. And so they were able to live in basic peace, but at the expense of giving their allegiance to him. Now, what does this mean for us? In quick summary, we've been under siege for a while. The election happened, so the walls were broken down. The spirits of Babylon came in. The king of Babylon came in, and then he was able to get a hold of the king of America and gouge out his eyes for the principalities of darkness in Babylon. Then the spirit of Babylon is going to take away the wealth from the nobles, destroy the nobles, destroy the wealthy ones. It's going to take away the houses, destroy the houses. It's going to take away the protection from America. It's going to carry off people as captives. How that happens? Well, we can go down the list of the different tyrannical plans that the New World Order has in the future. And we can also see this. The remnant of the people will be taken captive. And then we must also examine this. Which ones are left alone? Which ones get to basically live in peace? The poor ones that sold out to Babylon, which illustrates this, folks. And this is the part that's going to be very, very important to get a hold of. When the day finally comes, we're going to be given a choice. And I don't know what event will take place to give us that choice, but we're going to be given a choice. And one of them will be stay loyal and faithful to the kingdom of God and then be labeled as such, or be loyal and faithful and show allegiance to the king of Babylon, to the king of the land. We'll have to choose, folks. In other words, if we choose to deny Christ, there's a good chance they'll leave you alone. They'll leave you with your own little 8x8 plot of land to have your little tomato plants, little garden. Be a good person, be a good citizen, and everything will be great. But you have to keep your mouth shut, and you can't talk about God, and you won't be able to share the gospel, and you will be expected to show your allegiance to the proper authorities. And when we examine these things, the conclusion is tyranny's coming, folks. We are going to see horrible things come upon this nation. Very dark things. The things that they have in store. If we were able to take a glimpse into the future, I'm pretty sure we are going to be hearing some stories that are nightmarish and horrible. We're going to hear stories about the loss of freedoms, intolerance toward Christians, persecution toward Christians. We're going to hear stories about how pastors were arrested because they said things that were antisocial. We're going to be hearing about how children are disciplined because they had a t-shirt that talked about God. Oh, that's happening already. We're going to start seeing the depravity play itself out. We're out in the open. Same-sex marriage will be promoted and paraded in our face. We're going to start seeing how Catholic hospitals will have to make a choice either to perform abortions in their hospitals or shut their doors. So at the expense of selling their souls, what are they going to do? Folks, the conclusion of many of these things that I'm illustrating is going to be grief and sorrow and tears. Lamentations is coming to America, ladies and gentlemen. So as I have shared from Jeremiah 39, I ask this, folks. I know that in the natural, some of this sounds pretty crazy. This sounds pretty wild. I'm sure, as usual, I'm going to get the emails from the detractors, from those that are against. Nathan, you're crazy. You're part of the problem. You're saying things about our president. Shame on you. You should be deported. Folks, I get those emails already. How dare you talk about my president? They should kick you out of this country. You know, folks, if it was that easy to get kicked out of America, I'm pretty sure a lot of other people would try that too. Really? Will you also supply the ticket so that I could leave? I don't think it's that easy, folks. Which leads to another thing. The Iron Curtain surrounding America is going to get harder to escape. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are we supposed to do? Well, I want to say this. First of all, eventually Babylon's going to have a presence worldwide. It's going to be throughout the whole world, folks. The Bible says so. It rides the beast. Babylon rides the beast. Nathan, should I leave the country? That's something that you would have to figure out with a lot of prayer. But you know, folks, I have thought about this one a lot. And in the next program that I release, I'm going to be talking about how to escape the bondages of Babylon from the spiritual point of view. And again, folks, it's going to be a very powerful sermon that's going to bless and comfort and help to spiritually heal many of you that are listening. And I'm going to go more into this Babylonian nightmare that's coming. I'm going to talk a lot more about it, but in summary, this is what's going on, folks. When we look at the origins of many false religions, at the very beginning of time, they originated from Babylon. And then when we look at the children of Israel being tried and purged and judged by God, who did God use? He used Babylon. We just read it in Jeremiah. It was Babylon, folks. And then when we look at the very end of time, the final book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, once again, what is going to be the tool that God allows to purge his remnant, those that overcome by the blood of the Lamb? He's going to use, once again, Babylon, mystery Babylon. So ladies and gentlemen, Babylon, when we look at it from that point of view, Babylon is going to be a tool that God uses to purge his people, where the people of God will find themselves purified in the fires of trial and tribulation. Purified, folks. And without Babylon, the purifying would not have happened. So to try to escape Babylon and say, I don't want to be purged by Babylon, I'm just going to go hide in this cave, and then everything's going to be fine. Well, that's true. If someone could figure out a way to hide in some bunker and never be tried by Babylon, then they're pretty much going to stay the same Laodicean, lukewarm Christian that they've always been their whole Christian life. Let's be honest, folks. The average Christian life is a flaky testament to the will of God. But if a person understands through the mind of Christ that Babylon can actually function to help a person realize their limits and then go past those limits into a new type of life in Christ, where they discover areas that they never knew existed, that can only happen because they are facing the trials and the pain and the lamenting that Babylon brings. When I was feeling sorrowful after the election, and I went and prayed and I said, God, why? Why does this have to happen? It seems scary, and I know a lot of people are going to have a hard time with this, God. If Obama has won a second term, and those things that he wants to bring are terrible, how are we going to deal with Obamacare? God, how? What do we do? Folks, when we look at the scriptures, when we see the plight of the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church that so many Christians have fun making mockery of, God loves the church of Laodicea, folks. He says it. Those that I love, I chasten. He shares with them the remedy. Buy from me gold tried in the fire. That's the only way to get it, folks, from the fire of trials. Gold can only be obtained from trials, and trials can only occur when pain and suffering is involved. Trials only occur on the altar of fire. John the Baptist said, he will purge his floor. And ladies and gentlemen, for those that understand that a floor that is being purged is a road that is less traveled. And not many people want to walk on that road. But that is the road that is traveled by the remnant of God. When Jesus says in Revelation 19, the bride has made herself ready, the reason she's been made ready is because she has gone through the road of pain and purging. And she went through the trials of life that allowed her to purchase from Jesus gold that is priceless. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus himself learned obedience through the things he suffered. By our Lord, he was our captain. He's the one that blazed the trail before us. And then after him, those of the faith that also by faith, they face their mountains. Those of the faith who are able to look at their mortality, who are able to look at whether they would live or die. And ladies and gentlemen, they did live. And then they died. And now they have become a part of the cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on, that are clapping for you and applauding your desire to please God. The trials of God's people and pain and suffering are not a new thing, ladies and gentlemen. There are millions of people in oppressed countries that live like this every day. And they understand the road of pain and hardship. They understand contrary winds. They understand that trust is not something that is said. Trust
is something that is endured. Trust is something that is held on to. Trust is something inside a tightly clenched fist as someone is on their knees crying out to God. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame because they endured the hardship. They overcame because they had a renewed perspective. And they understand that they had to walk down that road that was not easy. And they understood that obedience could be won. And they understood that the only way they were going to win obedience was to walk that road. Dying to self. Becoming a servant. Folks, whatever happens in the coming 4 years, we have to allow it to reshape our prayer life. We have to allow it to reshape our priorities. We have to allow it to reshape our witness, our demeanor, our relationships, our tolerance of pain, our attitude. The next 4 years is going to be a road, but it's only through this road that we're going to gain by losing the things that perhaps we need to lose. Because when a person loses all, then do they find the gold. And nothing else can match that, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing else can equal it or purchase it or obtain it. And God's going to use the trial of Babylon to renew his children. God's going to use the spirit of Babylon for his good. And Satan does not want this. But that's too bad. Because those of you that are listening, you understand these words. And you desire to be the remnant that even though there's captivity, will find God's approval. A few mornings ago, I was awakened and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "What is the Spirit saying to the church?" I heard those words in my spirit and I started thinking about it. I said, "God, what are you saying to the church? What are you saying?" And ladies and gentlemen, that is the thing that every one of us must find. You need to find that. What is the Spirit saying to the church right now? And every one of you have a different thing that the Spirit wants to say. But if we listen, we'll be able to hear it. I want to encourage you to, if perchance you cannot hear what the Spirit is saying, go to the book of Revelation and go to the beginning three chapters where Jesus is speaking to the churches. Start there. Jesus has a message, folks, and we need to find it. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your patience. I know that this has been a long message, but I needed to share these things because even though it's scary and we know that America has died. And it's okay for us to lament that. It's okay that we're sad about it. Because it makes me sad, folks. The America I love is gone. It's sad. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Times of sorrow. But after you have sorrowed, and after you have grieved the loss of America, then we have to find out what the Spirit is saying to us. Now, I know that there are some of you that are struggling in your spiritual walk. Some of you might say, "Nathan, I don't know what the Spirit's saying. I'm in a mess. I want to do better, but I keep stumbling." And you know, folks, God knows this. But if deep down inside of your heart, if it is your will to do God's will, God's going to help you. But you need to seek it and earnestly chase after it. Now, in the next program, I'm going to talk about how to find victory. So folks, be looking for that message. If you do not subscribe to my messages, you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and there's a place where you can subscribe and you'll get that message. Folks, please take these words to heart. Listen to the spirit behind these words, folks. We are facing a gargantuan, life-changing thing that's going to affect all of us. And the question is, what are we going to do with it? Is our response going to be correct? Is our response going to be pleasing to God? Folks, we need to try our best to make sure that it does. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. And I ask you, God, to touch the people listening that are struggling, that are fearful, that are afraid, that are sad. God, this is a hard time that we're living in. And Lord, we are seeing the death of our country that we once loved and that we still love. God, help us to heal as we see these things take place around us. God, have mercy on those that are struggling. Pull us out of the mire of Babylon so that we can have victory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, thank you for listening. If you appreciate the messages that Watchman's Cry produces, then, my friends, we really need your support.
As I shared in the previous program, we found out in early September that we were going to have to move from where we were living, and this came upon us suddenly. And because of that, I have not had the time I needed to put out our program as often as I would like. And again, folks, I apologize for that. But now we are in our new location, and I plan to bring out many programs that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. And also, I want to say this, folks, I really don't like having to mention, but this move that we just came out of did strike us with a financial blow. So if the Lord leads you, we really would appreciate your support so that we can get caught up and not have to be concerning ourselves with that. And instead, we can concern ourselves with bringing to you the messages and the programs that the people of God need to hear. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Well, folks, we're in a new envelope of time, but the remnant of God is going to make it. And I believe that those of you listening to this program are part of that precious group of people that God will say, well done. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay encouraged, stay the course, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Our peace, who has broken down